Venerable religious and dear parishioners and students, heaven is real. And for that matter, hell is real as well. And it is important that we often meditate upon these two places. One, in order that we may avoid it at all costs. And the other one, that we may gain it at all costs. For every creature who every rational being that makes free choices, there's only one of two places where they shall be for all eternity. It will be in the eternal reward of heaven or the eternal punishment, the fires of hell. And why do we need to meditate? Because, my dear brethren, we don't see them. It's easier to believe in the things that we see around us every day. Those are real. But it is even more important to meditate upon these places that are real and that we do not see. But let our thoughts be mainly, of course, on heaven today. And what is heaven? It is seeing God face to face. The beatific vision. And it is so good that St. Paul says he can't find words to describe it. I believe he had been taken up to the third heaven. He was the one that he speaks of in 2 Corinthians. But it was not the beatific vision. It was something less than that, but still gave him an idea. And he said, "Eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for those who love him." So there he is, the great apostle, the most eloquent explainer of the gospel, saying, "I don't have the words to tell you how wonderful heaven is." So we take it on faith, and today's feast of Jesus rising by his own power, because he is God, rising and going up to heaven to receive his reward. What reward could Jesus receive? Is he not God? But he's also man. And it is as man that he earned the highest reward possible in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Already as God, he needs no reward. But as man, he deserves everything and the highest possible reward. So we rejoice with our Lord. The apostles were rejoicing, we are told, but they also were sad because now they did not have the tangible presence of Jesus. Oh, they knew that he would still stay with them in the Blessed Sacrament. He's still with us that way. They knew that he would remain with them through sanctifying grace in their souls. They knew that he would be with his church. "I will be with you all days to the consummation of the world." But again, they would no longer have the sensible presence of Jesus. They had enjoyed that for some 3 years. So it was a bittersweet occasion for them. They knew it had to happen. He had foretold it. And they rejoiced that the will of God was being done. They rejoiced that Jesus was going to receive his reward. But they knew they had to live by that faith of serving him, preaching his gospel, even though his sensible presence was no longer there. One of the very touching words, well, so many touching things, of course, in all of our Lord's teachings, but at the Last Supper, Jesus says to his apostles, "I go to prepare a place for you." Let me repeat that. I go to prepare a place for you. And we think, well, what does God need to do to prepare? Can't he do all things instantaneously? But our Lord is using human language to describe the care that he put into preparing their reward. And so that is what buoyed up the apostles. Jesus went to prepare that reward for them. It was waiting for them. The glory of heaven. That's what we're trying to understand more. And especially on a feast such as today. What is heaven like? Better than anything we can imagine. We have to keep on fighting the battle here on earth. We're members of the church militant. We have to fight. You've heard this so many times, our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have to fight our fallen human nature, the flesh, which is our greatest enemy. The devil will not rest as long as we are in this life. His power is limited. As St. Augustine says, he's like a chained dog. But still, within whatever parameters God allows him to exercise his power, he's going to go after us. And then there's the world, the spirit of this life, the one that says, try to have your heaven now. But the reality is, and the saints so often repeat this, the spiritual writers, if we try to have our heaven now, we're going to lose the real heaven. You can't have both. This doesn't mean that we can never have any kind of pleasure or happiness in this life. Of course not, as long as it's not offensive to God. But we must focus on reaching our heavenly goal. That's what's most important. So we must carry our cross. We must fight sin. We must do penance. And we will thereby earn our reward. Yes, we have to labor. God doesn't just give out rewards for no effort on our part. So let the reward motivate you. Let the thought of the beatific vision, which we, of course, affirm by an act of faith, let that inspire us. I want to see God one day. I will get to behold the very face of God. I will see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I will see the Son who on this day ascended into heaven, enjoying his reward in his human nature. I will get to see our Blessed Mother, she who is at the right hand of her Son. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and Mary is at the right hand of the Son. It's an expression that shows the prestige and power and dignity. I want to see the angels and saints. I want to see all those who persevered in their holy Catholic faith, who persevered in sanctifying grace. I want to see them and be with them forever, praising God in heaven. So a glorious day this is indeed. And Jesus is telling us, think of the reward. I would like to end with these words of the collect for today. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that believing thine only begotten, our Redeemer, to have ascended to heaven on this day, we too may spiritually dwell in the heavenly places. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.